Well, good morning. It's good to see you today. I'm sorry, but the better half is not with me. I'm a humming up here. There we go. She's in California. Our youngest lives in Hume Lake, California, with her husband and two little ones. They work at a Christian camp there, and they went on their 10-year anniversary trip, and my wife went out to take care of the two little ones. We have two little ones and their mother and father, which is my son, living with us. So she went from taking care of them all the time to California to take care of them all the time. And I'm going to fly out there Tuesday, and my daughter and son-in-law are coming back, and we'll all be together there for a week, and looking forward to that. But that's why LaDonna's not with me today. She would have loved to have been here. But I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me. I am the Director of Missions for Lawrence County Baptist Association. I was talking to a lady a while ago. People ask me all the time, where do you go to church? I say, I go to 28 different churches. So I'm in a different church most every week, and love that opportunity to be with people. In our association, we had children's camp back in June. It went fantastic. I recognize several of your kids that were there with us. We had made a real strong attempt to bring children's camp down a couple of notches, because it occurred to me we were doing children's camp on a level where we were really doing it like you would do a camp for adults or youth. So we brought it down to more like a vacation Bible school level, where we were really explaining the gospel and what it meant to be saved. It was a great week, great week. We had 17 make professions of faith. What's really neat about that is we followed that up by sending discipleship materials to all of those kids and doing it in such a way that we're trying to draw in the parents to that. I've had two churches that said after camp, we had families come to our church that had never been to our church before because of their children going to camp and getting that material and us following up with them. That was really neat and really exciting, and I was thankful for that. Ladies' retreat took place just a few weeks ago there at Baptist Hill, and lots of things going on in our association. I thank you for supporting Lawrence County Baptist Association. I appreciate your pastor so much. He is a great encourager, a great support, and we are just praying for him and his wife and your church, and appreciate y'all letting me be here. Take your Bibles. We are going, and you might just go ahead and turn to that front little section that tells you where the books of the Bible are. We're going to Hosea. It is in there. So you can do the old thing where you go like that, or you can just turn to the front and find the page number, all right? The book of Hosea. When I was 11, almost 12, my whole family was born and raised in Florida. And when I was 11, almost 12, my dad moved us to Kentucky. And I went the rest of my school, elementary school and high school in Kentucky. When I was in high school, I met a young lady by the name of LaDonna Lyle. We were high school sweethearts, and then we got married, been married be 40 years next May, and very thankful for that. But when we were dating, we were one night at her house in the driveway on the hood of my car watching the stars. And my wife was raised on a farm. I mean, a farm. That's all her father did was farm, raise cattle and some crops. And it was Kentucky, so they raised tobacco back in that day. And her father claims that he heard some dogs chasing his cattle, barking and chasing his cattle. That's what he claims. But what happened was he came out on the side steps with a shotgun and shot it off into the air. I don't know if there were dogs chasing his cattle, but I left. We had a great several years there where we were dating, going to high school together. Somewhere in there, I had a a dream, I think, a passion or whatever, that I was going to join the Army and fly helicopters. And I went through several processes to try to make that happen, and they finally said, no, you can't do that because you have allergies in the fall. And the Lord sort of ended that abruptly, and it wasn't long after that that my pastor preached a sermon. It wasn't on the prodigal son, it was on the prodigal son's brother. Remember him that got all upset that his dad was doing so much for the brother that had left? It was entitled, A Soul with a Grievance. And the Lord used that to touch my heart to call me into ministry, to be a pastor. And I remember that so very clearly. I remember a passage of scripture from Timothy that the Lord drew me into this calling to be a pastor. That was my calling. That's how I met LaDonna in high school. From that, we went separate colleges. We broke up for a while, I have to tell you. In fact, if you look at our yearbook, we were Mr. and Miss Senior. We were elected Mr. and Miss Senior, broke up the next week. So we went our separate ways for a while, again, got back together, and like I said, we have been married almost 40 years now. That was my calling, and that was my early days, LaDonna and I being together. The book of Hosea has a strange beginning, if you're not familiar with it. If I wasn't about to show you it from Scripture, if I just told you the story, if you were not familiar with it, you'd say, there's no way that is in the Bible. The book of Hosea, let's begin reading verse 2 of chapter 1. When the Lord first, notice that, when the Lord first spoke to Hosea, he said this to him. Look at me now. You're reading ahead. Quit it. The first words that the Lord spoke to Hosea, here they are. Go and marry a promiscuous wife and have children of promiscuity. For the whole land has been promiscuous by abandoning the Lord. Is that not strange or what? We know that when we go to the Bible, and most of it, I mean, you look at your Bible, most of it's Old Testament. And all these stories that illustrate what's going to happen and tell us the need for what is going to happen in the New Testament. So in this case, the whole story of Hosea and him taking this promiscuous wife and having children of promiscuity is all about the story of the nation of Israel that God formed and called out to be His people and taking care of them and doing so many miracles on their behalf and loving them. And then they abandon Him. And He calls them back, and He loves them and forgives them, and they abandon Him again. And it's just this cycle again and again. And that is what this story is going to illustrate and what it is all about. So Hosea is a story of God and the Jewish people, blessing, forgiveness, unfaithfulness, discipline, restoration, repeat. Let me say that again. It's a story of blessing, faithfulness, unfaithfulness, discipline, restoration, repeat. And let's be honest. For many of us, that's the same story of our life. God is so good to us. We're in this great relationship with Him. And then something draws us away. And God will do things to bring us back to the path because He loves us so much. And we will confess and we'll make things right with God and He will bless us. And then something draws us away and we can often be in this cycle repeatedly in our relationship with God. I want to give you three things very quickly. The first three will be very quickly. Don't get excited because the next three will not be as quick. I don't know how long Gary preaches. Don't tell me 10 minutes. But I assume you're normally out by around 11 o'clock, 11:15, somewhere in there. So I won't go past that. Three things that illustrate God's love for us from this story. And then I want to give you three things that He gives us that we can draw from this story for living our lives. Three things illustrate God's love and forgiveness for us, and then three things He gives us for living life. Number one, in the book of Hosea. Now, if you continue reading, look at verse 3. So, after God first spoke to him, verse 3, so he went and married, and it's not Elizabeth or Laura or Lisa, or when it speaks of, it gives his name. So he went and married her name. He went and married Gomer. That should be funnier than that. He went and married Gomer. Some of you were raised watching Gomer Pyle, and if you're like my house, you're still watching Gomer Pyle, right? So he went and married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Three things. Here's the first one. God came looking for us like Hosea went looking for a wife. There was nothing good about us that God looked at you or looked at me and said, got to have that one. God came looking for us out of His grace and His mercy and His love for us, even though there was nothing about us that was lovely. At our very best, there's nothing about us that God just looked at us and said, wow, look at that one, got to have that one. And so the story illustrates in the first few verses where God says to Hosea, go and marry a promiscuous wife. She's not faithful. She's not going to be faithful. She has a terrible reputation, but go and marry. I don't even know when you read that verse, go and marry a promiscuous wife. How do you find a promiscuous wife? What was that all? How did that work for Hosea? And the Bible doesn't tell us that. It just says that he went and found Gomer and married her. How do you stay in ministry? He's a man of God. He's a prophet of the Old Testament. How do you stay in ministry with a wife that's promiscuous like Gomer was? If LaDonna was here, many of you have met LaDonna. You love her. She's a godly woman. She's definitely the better half of this marriage. She's faithful. She's faithful to me. She's faithful to God. How do you stay in ministry when you've got a wife like Gomer? But he went and found her. Brought her into a relationship, into a marriage. God came and found us. There was nothing in us that began on our own accord to just begin to long for God. The Bible tells us that we want God because the Holy Spirit begins to draw us. That's what brings us into that relationship. And when we respond to the drawing of the Holy Spirit and accept the Lord, then we are in this relationship with God. But God initiated it. And that story, that is illustrated in this story. The second thing, God knew all about our propensity for sin before He came and got us. In other words, God knew that when He saved us, we would still have this tendency to keep going that way and that way instead of on the way that He wants us to go. You can say amen to that because it's true, right? You're afraid to because you're thinking, well, the person next to me will think that I'm really doing that. You are. And so is that person. We just have this tendency to go the wrong way all the time. And God knew that about us before He saved us. You go to the Old Testament. Trevor talked about the Israelites and God gave the law. The law does not save us. The law shows us how great our need is for God. Amen? We can't do it on our own. That's what the whole gospel is about. That's the whole New Testament. We desperately have to have God. But God knew that before he came and got us. That's the story here. Go and find and marry a promiscuous wife. And Hosea does it. Goes and finds Gomer. God knew all about that, about our desire even for sin, just like Gomer had. You would, if you're not familiar with the story, you're probably sitting there thinking, well, she married a godly man, and now her life is better, and she has said goodbye to all of that. Go to chapter 3. He's married her in chapter 1. Chapter 3, listen to this. Then the Lord said to me, go again, show love to a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress, just as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love raisin cakes. That just a reference to luxury. Look at verse 2. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver. I don't know how long they've been had been married at this point. They've got children together. Now she's gone away. She's with another man. And Hosea has to go and buy her back. It illustrates our story. As terrible as that is, and I mean, we look at this story, that's terrible. But it illustrates that God loved us, He saved us, He bought us with the blood of Jesus Christ, and with all that He has poured out upon us, we still have a tendency to go every which direction except the direction that is right. That's the story. That's the story that is illustrated for us. Here's the third one. I told you I'd give you three things that illustrate God's love for us. Number three, God decided before He created the world that His Son would die on a cross and shed His blood for us. Before He created us. Book of Revelation talks about the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world was laid. Before God created, He knew the end of the story. How crazy is that? Before He created you and I, before He put all this in place, He knew that Jesus would have to come and die and shed His blood, because the very ones He created and poured all this love upon would need that sacrifice, that kind of love, to prepare us for eternity. Again, you can say amen. That's a great point. God loved us that much. Three things in this story that illustrate God's love for us. Now, we'll move into three things in this story that He gives us for living this life. Number one, if you look in chapter 1, look at verse 2. He says there, marry a promiscuous wife and have children of promiscuity. Verse 3, so he marries Gomer, and it says, and she conceived and bore him a son. Name him Jezreel, it says in verse 4. Verse 6, she conceived again and gave birth to a daughter, and her name would mean no compassion, lo ruhama. If you keep on reading, verse 8, after Gomer had weaned no compassion, she conceived again and gave birth to a son. And the Lord said, name him, his name would mean not my people. Three children, they all are illustrating what's going on and why the story is taking place, all pointing to the unfaithfulness of Israel. We are not sure that these three children belong to Hosea. But he lives with this woman and loves this woman. And in obedience to God, some years later when she has left and is with another man, he goes and buys her back. Number one, three things that God gives us to live by. And you might want to hold your finger in this other passage that I'm going to take you to. But it's the book of Colossians around chapter 3. Colossians, I'm going to take you to chapter 3. Colossians means a whole lot to me. It's been the favorite passage for me for some time now. It's just so rich and so meaningful. In the book of Colossians, he gives us something. I'll take you to Colossians chapter 3, and I'm going to go to verse, I think I'll start in verse 12. Therefore, God's chosen ones, talking to believers, God's chosen ones, holy and loved, put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Now watch this, verse 13. Accepting one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. Number one, things that we learn in Hosea that are for us to live this life, number one is simply the word forgiveness. This book of Hosea, this story, it's about Hosea and it's about Gomer and it's about their three children. But I'm here to tell you the story is really about God and His forgiveness. God and His love. His love for Israel, His love for His people, His willingness to forgive them even though they leave Him again and again and again and follow false idols. That's the story. We learn from that that one of the greatest things that God tells us to do that is a secret to life, to living a good life, to having a joyful life, to having a happy life, is to learn forgiveness. And we might quickly jump in there and say, well, you don't know, though, what this person did. Well, does it look anything like Hosea and Gomer? All the things that she did to him, all the things she did to his family. And yet again and again, God says, go and get her. Go find her. Bring her back. And it's interesting, and then in chapter 3, he says it this way. Go again, show love to a woman. Number one, forgiveness. In the book of Colossians and in other places, we are commanded to forgive. But we hold grudges. Because we're going to show them, no, you're hurting yourself. You're hurting the body of Christ if it's somebody in the church. You're hurting your family. You're hurting yourself when you won't show forgiveness. We are commanded, the Bible says. We are commanded. In fact, if you look there at what it says, accepting one another, forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another. It may not be your fault. You may not have done it. It may have not had anything to do with anything you did, but the Bible says forgive. And when we refuse to forgive, we build up walls. And I tell you what, like I said, I go to 28 different churches on a regular basis. I have pastored for 30 some years, and I have seen people hold grudges. I've had people stand in church and tell me to my face, I will never forgive them. That means that as long as they will not do that, they are not in right relationship with God or the body of Christ. That's a sad deal. Number one, forgiveness. To forgive. It is, I didn't say this, I'm quoting, I don't know who said it. It is easier to act our way to feeling than it is to feel our way to acting. Do you get that? What does that mean? The Bible says to forgive. And people will often say, well, I don't feel that way. That's fine. Just do what the Bible says. is easier to act. In other words, if we forgive, if we will let go of that grudge, if we will start treating them nicely, even though we don't feel it, if we will start praying for them, if we'll do something good for them, the heart will begin to change. But it starts with obedience. God said, do it. We've got to do it. We act, and the feelings will begin to follow somewhere along the line. Number one is forgiveness. Number two, this whole story is a crazy story. It's a story about a woman who is as bad as they get, right? She was on a bad path before Hosea came and found her. And her life didn't change. She was an adulteress. Who knows? Three children. Who knows how many fathers are involved? So bad then that she leaves all of them, goes and gets another man and is living with them. And the path of her life was terrible. What was in her mind? Was it that she kept feeling like, well, there's something I'm missing. There's something more exciting than just having a husband and children and staying home. There's something. Was she just looking for something more exciting? Number two, under the heading, three things he gives us for living this life. Number two is a path for life. A path for life. It's not the one that Gomer took. Are you with me? It's not the one that's always looking for something more exciting. The path that God illustrates for us here is that there is a life to live, a path to walk that God blesses, that God uses. And he illustrates by going to the extreme other direction. And we should learn from this that there is nothing out there that is better than living the life that God has for us. Gary sang a song. Gary, I know every word to that song just about. I remember when I was a little kid, my mama singing that song in church. It says, roll back the curtains of memory now and then. Show me what might have been, kind of thing. You know what? I wonder, when I was 17, I sat behind LaDonna in geometry class. She still has a ribbon I stole out of her hair in geometry class in 11th grade. You say, well, that's silly. Maybe. But I have to tell you, I wonder where my life would have gone if Lord had not given me LaDonna early in my life. I wonder, when I heard that story, I wonder all the things that I might have done that might not have been good if God hadn't brought this woman into my life. There's a path that God has for us. Let's go back to Colossians. The book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 1 says, starts like this. So if you have been raised with the Messiah, in other words, if you are a Christian, there's so much in Colossians. I'm going to go back to chapter 2 in just a moment. But if you have been raised with the Messiah, here it is. He gives us a path to walk, a way to live. If you've been raised with the Messiah, seek what is above, where the Messiah is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on what is above and not on what is on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with the Messiah in God. He gives us, there are about three different lists that he gives us in chapter 3 of how to live our life. If you're a person that likes lists, here are some lists of things not to do. And then, as we read, when you come down to verse 12, he gives us a list of things to do. Put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility. He gives us these lists. This is the path I want you to walk. It's not the path that Gomer walked. But now get this. if you're trying to live the path of Colossians, I mean, you've got a list. You can check things off. Well, I'm doing this. I'm not doing that. I'm doing this. It's like a well-marked path for us. A few years ago, I always do the first day of rifle hunting season over in Donovan, Missouri. Pastored there for a long time and got some good friends over there, and we all get together and we hunt. But I usually will go 2 days in advance and bow hunt for a couple of days. And I had, I'm not sure a good word here, ignorance would fit. I can't say stupidity because my wife might hear that. I said that out loud in front of people. I was stupid, though. This friend, he said, well, I've got this hunting camp set up. We won't be there yet, but you can go and bow hunt there before we get there. And he told me on the phone how to find the tree stand. And he says, when you go down this path, there's a log that covers the whole path. And if you look to your right, we've marked it with reflective markers. I can find that. I went there. I got there. It's about 30 minutes before dark, and there's a storm brewing. And I went down the path, found the path. I found the log, looked to my right. I see the reflectors. I follow the reflectors. I find the tree stand. I am ready to go. I turn around and start walking the way I came. The reflectors are on the other sides of the trees. I can't see a reflector one. I got so lost that night. It got dark. I've got my keys out, just pushing the button, hoping that I can hear the horn beep. God has given us a well-marked path. And sometimes we get off the path. Sometimes we fall into something that's not intentional, and sometimes it is intentional. Are you with me? You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's accidental sort of thing, and sometimes we know very well what we're doing. Whichever one you might be on, if you're off the path, I want you to know this. God loved Gomer. With all of her messes, with all of her life, God loved Gomer. God loved Israel with all of their messes. And God loves you. But that's not the path that he has for you. He's got a better path. He's got a better life. This story illustrates. Don't go this way. Colossians tells us this is the way to live. He wants you on that path. The story gives us the path of life. If you go back to Colossians, look in chapter 3, verse 23. We can put a lot of energy into living the wrong way, right? What if we put as much energy into living for God, living the right way, as we put into living the wrong way? Verse 23, whatever you do, do it enthusiastically as something done for the Lord and not for men. And there's always going to be that drawing. I wish I could had time to preach that other sermon from Colossians about the old man and the new man. You're a Christian, but there's the flesh, the Bible calls it, the old man that keeps drawing us away. But God has something better for you than to walk the wrong path. Number three. Forgiveness is number one. Number two is the path of love. And number three is just love. It's pictured for us in this book. How much does God love you? If you're a believer, if you are a Christian, and let's say you have really messed up, how much does God love you? We'll go back to the book of Colossians. This is every time I point this out, I almost feel like I'm saying something heretical, something that's just makes you cringe to even say it. But look in Colossians. It's also in chapter 3. I've already told you right now, my son and his wife and two little girls, 5 and 3, I think, are living with us. There's never a moment of stress in that household. My son and I, he had a house framed in, and we're doing the rest of it. Never a moment of contention there whatsoever. Laugh again. My hands have glue all over them. We're putting wood floors down right now. And it's just, we get along great. He doesn't see things like I see things sometimes. It's interesting, right? But he's my son. If he told me, Dad, just get out, I would be hurt. But he'd still be my son. I mean, if we just really locked horns and got angry, he'd still be my son. In Colossians chapter 3, here, notice what it says. If I were you, I would mark this in my Bible. I would mark the page. I would somehow mark this. I would memorize this if I were you. Chapter 3. So if you've been raised with the Messiah, seek what is above, where the Messiah is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on what is above, not on what is on the earth. For you have died, here it is, and your life is hidden in with the Messiah in God. And your life is hidden with the Messiah in God. The Bible tells us that when we go to pray, it tells believers to come boldly to the throne of grace. You ever wonder why it is that you can do that? Why you can come into the presence of God boldly? Because you know the thoughts you've had. You know the attitudes that you've had. You know the things you've done wrong. And yet the Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace. How is that possible? Because I'm hidden by the Messiah. I'm covered by Jesus. When I got saved, the blood of Jesus Christ covers me. And so when I come before the Father, he sees Jesus. That's the thing that every time I say it, I think, oh man, can I really say that? But I believe that's what the Bible teaches. And when the Messiah, who is your life, that next verse. And when the Messiah who is your life is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. I'm covered with Jesus. That's how much God loves me. Just like he loves his son Jesus. Just dwell on that for a little bit. How bad have you messed up? Not enough for God to say, you are no longer my child. The path that he's given for us, forgiveness, live your life by forgiving people, live your life, set it on the path that God has for us, and then know that God loves you. If you're not a believer, if you're not a Christian, does God love you like you can't imagine? So much so that before he created this world, he said, I'm going to send my son Jesus to die. Because they can't live good enough to be in my presence. So I'll send my son to die for them. I'll cover them with Jesus if they will accept him, if they will have him. And then they can be with me. God loves you with a love you cannot imagine. His love for you is complete. It's total. Well, your story is unique. Just like the story of Hosea and Gomer. What a story. Well, you've got a story too, and God loves you in your story. If you've never accepted Jesus, he wants to pour his love out upon you by giving you the offering that Jesus did on the cross. He'll just give it to you if you'll ask for it. If you're already a Christian, how's the path? Are you on the path? Have you gotten sidetracked, gone one way or the other? Listen, there's nothing out there, no matter how much Satan lies to you and says, look at this, do this, this is great. No, there's nothing. There's nothing out there that's better than what Jesus has for you. Would you pray with me, please? Bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. I don't know how God may be speaking to your heart, but I pray, I hope that you will listen to him. If you're on the path, I hope that you will realize that thing you're feeling right now is God drawing you back to the path that he has for your life. Does he still love you? Oh, yes. Will he forgive you? Oh, yes. Father, Lord, speak to our hearts. Draw us close to you, Lord. May we know that your Spirit is working in our hearts right now. There are some people that probably have a problem with forgiveness against somebody, and they've just made a vow that they will never forgive them. God, I just pray that you would break that down in them today. I pray that they would go and make it right. It's probably some that don't feel worthy of your forgiveness and your love. Let them know that none of us are worthy of your forgiveness and love. Pour your Spirit out upon us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Let's stand quietly. If God is dealing with your heart, I assume that you all have an open altar here. You can come and pray. If you need somebody to pray with you, somebody from the church here will pray with you. Whatever your need is, you respond to God's moving and you come.